Well, children, I bet you recognize this image up at the front. Anyone tell me who this is? Disney, absolutely. We all love Disney stories. Even the adults love Disney stories. There's usually some battles, some bad guys, some damsels in distress, people who need rescuing, and there's always a hero with a happily ever after. A happy ever after. Well, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the story of Judges, which is a true story, not a fairy tale, a true story about the people of Israel, God's people, Israel. They'd just been given the land, they'd defeated Jericho, they'd crossed the river, and what would they do in the promised land? Well, when we compare the story of Disney and the story of Judges, we'll see that there are definitely some similarities. There are lots of battles. There are lots of bad guys. There are lots of people in distress. But there are some big differences. In the book of Judges, there is only one hero. One hero. And it's not the judges, the rulers, the leaders themselves. It's not them. Definitely not. And there is definitely no happy ending. No happy ending. And actually, that's the whole point of the book, but we'll come to that in a little bit. So when it comes to Disney, Disney is really a U-rated. You may have seen this on the front of DVD covers. Disney, U, means universal. Stories for everybody. Judges. If you were to read through the book of Judges, you would find that it's 18-rated, adult-rated, even more. This is not nice material. As a story, we're thinking, why would we be reading a book like this? If you were to go home and read the book of Judges, you would be quite shocked by what you found. Why is that in the Bible? Well, the ending sums it up. There is no happy ending here. No happy ending. It's a horrible story and no happy ending. This is the last verse of the whole book. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. No happy ending, just an explanation. An explanation of what is wrong in the book of Judges. What is wrong with Israel? And as we look through Judges over the next 4 weeks, and as we think about Judges today, we're going to see two key things that the book of Judges teaches us. Firstly, that we are the bad guys because of our sin. We are the bad guys. Because of our sin. Now, lots of bad things happen to Israel. Don't get me wrong. They have a hard life in the land. But it would be so easy to have a kind of victim mentality. Why is this happening to me? Where is God in all this? Has he just left us? What's gone wrong? Why is the world so messed up? Now, I wonder if you've ever felt that or thought that or said that yourself or heard someone else say that. But God won't allow us to be the victims in Judges. You see, Israel are the bad guys in the story. They're the ones who got themselves into trouble in the first place, and they fully deserve everything that happens to them in the book of Judges. They are the reason the world is messed up. Not God, them. And that is really clear. We saw that in the second half of that verse. Everyone did as they saw fit. Literally, everyone did what was right in their own eyes, what they thought was right, what they wanted to do, what was best. Not what they were forced to do, not what they were made to do, what they wanted to do. Everyone did what they wanted to do. And that led to complete mess, utter disaster in the people of Israel. Everyone does what they want to do. It doesn't end well. And I need some volunteers from the children. Maybe three or four helpers to come up and help me. Evie, Noah, yeah, come on up. Yeah, do you want to come and stand over here? Yeah, great. Come on up, Caitlin. Brilliant. Now, I want you to imagine, children, that you are left in charge of this beautiful, pristine house. I need to go and do some shopping. And I'm only going to be 10 minutes. So I'll leave you some jobs to do while I'm away. Evie, would you like to do some cooking for us? Thank you. Noah, you can do some washing up. Thank you. There you go. Eben, I've got some things that need fixing. Would you like to hold that for me? There you go. And Caitlin, I know that you love sweeping and dusting. Brilliant. There you go. Now, the house is perfect as it is, isn't it? Pristine. Perfect. All I've done is leave them in charge and tell them what I'd like them to do. Now, Evie needs to do the cooking, Caitlin needs to do the dusting, Noah is all ready to do the washing up, and Eben is going to fix anything that breaks, including radiators, which is what I was doing yesterday. Now, everything will be fine, won't it? If you follow instructions, if you do what I've told you to do, yeah? But what happens if you do what you want to do? What happens if Evie doesn't want to do the cooking? What if she wants to go and paint? That wouldn't be a good mixture, would it? What if Caitlin didn't want to do the dusting? What if she wanted to jump on the sofas? And Noah, well, what if he didn't want to wash up? What if he wanted to, I don't know, make a sandcastle in the garden or something? Or even a den in the living room? Well, what happens when people do what they want, not what they should do? That's what happens. Thank you very much, children. It would be a complete mess, wouldn't it? Let's pop these things down over here. There you go. Yeah, you can hold on to it if you want. Okay, go and take a seat. Thank you. There you go. Take your bag with you. Now, it's a little bit of a silly point, but the point is clear that if you do what you want to do, not what you should do, eventually there's going to be mess somewhere. And that is exactly what happened with the people of Israel. They've got the land. God's given them this beautiful land. And then they do what they want to do. And it's a mess. To be more precise, it's not a mess so much as a vicious cycle. A vicious cycle of sin. Now, I've labeled the whole series that we're going to be looking at a vicious cycle. Because time and time again, the same thing happens. Again and again. Again and again. Sandra read it for us from chapter 2. This cycle of sin is what happens again and again in the book of Judges. It's like he hadn't got a new idea. It just happens again and again and again. God's people, they sin. They forget how good God is. And then they look for other gods, other things that might be better. Maybe Baal might be better. Maybe Ashtoreth might be a better god. Maybe they might give me what I want. So they sin against the Lord. And because they reject God, what happens in response? God rejects them. God hands them over to slavery. To find out just what life is like without him. And it's not good. They learn that life is not good without their good God. And so they come to supplication. They go, okay, well, if things aren't going well, maybe God might make it better. And then they come back around to God and say, we're really sorry for what we did. We'd like to go back to where we were before. Is that okay? And God, in his mercy, every time, despite what Israel is like, he responds with salvation. That's why the book is called Judges. Judges doesn't mean like judge with a hammer and a wig. It just means a leader, a ruler, a rescuer. So what does God do every time that God's people mess up? He provides a judge. But this cycle goes on and on, on and on. Israel could complain all they like, but they are the bad guys. They are the bad guys. Now, who caused the problem? They did. Who did they need rescuing from? Themselves. They are trapped in a vicious cycle, which gets worse and worse and worse. We saw in chapter 2, they turned from God. When God provided them a judge, they turned from that judge. And it got worse and worse and worse. And sadly, this is no fairy tale. Judges puts before us our world. Israel's story is our story. They were God's people. We are God's people. They were their own worst enemies. We are our own worst enemies. They are the bad guys. And we are the bad guys. You see, the bad guys aren't someone out there, over there, outside the church. The bad guys are right here, in this building. Now, we are the bad guys. We are trapped in that same vicious cycle of sin by nature. By nature, that is how our hearts are programmed. God gives us something good. We look for something better. God gives us some kind of mercy. We look for something else. That is how our hearts are programmed. Now, I think the children will agree that this looks fairly pretty. What is it? It's a heart. Yeah. Lovingly made at home. This is my heart. And it's all well and good until I reveal what's inside. And that's what Judges does. It looks lovely. And then I reveal what's inside. Upside down. And it's that cycle of sin again. We are just the same as Israel in the Judges. We sin. God gives us something good, we look for something else. Things are going bad, we come to God. Things are going well, we forget God. That is just by nature how we're programmed. In short, our hearts are programmed just like that verse we had at the beginning. Everyone did as they saw fit. Everyone did as they saw fit. Now, as we come to the book of Judges, it's like an X-ray or an MRI scan. It just shows up the human condition. And it's really hard reading. That's why I said it's not a fairy tale. It's not a Disney story. It is hard reading as we come and see what we are like in the people of Israel. Now, it's tempting to think when we look at Israel, well, I haven't done what they did. I know I haven't fiddled my taxes. I haven't murdered. I haven't committed adultery. But that's not what the book of Judges says sin is it? What does it say? Everyone did as they saw fit. Everyone did what they wanted. And we all do that. That is every single one of us, from old to the young. We do what we want. We are the bad guys. And that's nothing new. If you've read anything of the Anglican prayer book, you may recognize these words. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things we ought to have done. And we've done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. That is nothing new under the sun. That is the book of Judges. There is no health in us. But to prove the point, we're going to have a look at some Disney bad guys. Now, I wonder if any of the children can show me or tell me who any of these people are. They are the bad guys, I'm telling you that. But who are they? What are they like? Go on, Noah, tell us the first one.
The ugly sisters.
Yeah, the ugly sisters from the story of Cinderella. And what are they like to Cinderella? Well, they are ugly. In character and in appearance. What are they like to her? Go on, Amy. Mean. They're mean. Exactly. They are mean. They are mean. And who can us here can say that we have not been mean? Adults or children? We say mean things, we think mean things. What about this chap here with the bulging biceps? Anyone know his name? He's from Beauty and the Beast, so I'll give you that hint. His name's Gaston. He is the guy in love with Belle, but he's also in love with himself. It's me, me, me. There's a whole song about him, written by him, sung by him. Me, me, me. And who, again, has not lived like that? Constantly in our household, we are always talking to the children about, well, who are you listening to? Yourself or us? And that's not the children. We're doing that too. We listen to ourselves. We think about ourselves and not others. What about this queen? Who does she not like very much? Snow White. That's exactly right, Jamie. Snow White. And why doesn't she like Snow White? She's more beautiful. She's jealous. She is jealous.
And is that not something, again, that we are like? We are the bad guys. And lastly, Scar. He tells a horrible lie to a young boy, telling him that his dad is dead, or that he killed his dad. He lies. And again, we are frugal with the truth. We withhold the truth, we lie. Now, the book of Judges shows that up in more multicolour. Not just the Disney character bad guys, but Israel. There's one problem. We are the bad guys. We don't and we cannot do what is right because of our sin. And that's the theme of our next song, actually. We're going to sing a song called Mighty, Mighty Saviour. And one of the lines goes, "Sin is too strong for me to conquer on my own." That is one big lesson of the book of Judges. So we're going to sing that before we come back and listen to the good news. So, children, if you want to come up to the front. Well, just to briefly recap last time, just before the song, we heard that there is no happy ending. Because we are the bad guys, because of our sin. We do what we want to do. Now, children, I need you and adults in pairs to have a look at this picture. And you're going to have to use some of your detective skills here. How many wrong things are happening in this classroom right now? In the picture. I give you 30 seconds in pairs just to think about it. How many wrong things are happening? At least five, yeah. 10 more seconds. Okay, anyone want to hazard a guess or an estimate? Noah, how many?
About six.
Noah reckons six, higher, lower?
Nine.
Wow, you're a strict teacher, yeah. Five. Well, I had a look. I could be wrong. I think there are six. So someone's drawing on the desk. Throwing something at the back of the classroom. This girl here is pointing and laughing at someone's misfortune. Lots of bad things happening in the classroom. Which makes me think one thing. Where is the teacher? Nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. So what's happening? Everyone is doing what they want to do. And there is no teacher to bring them to order. They do what they want, and there's nobody to stop them. And of course, the world doesn't need a teacher to bring it to order, does it? A teacher, no matter how many detentions they hand out, is not going to be able to solve the problem. So what do we need? Well, the book of Judges is teaching us that the whole way through. But just in case you don't get it by the end of the book, the writer begins to hint quite strongly. I wonder if anyone can work out, from the end of the chapters, what does the world need? Gonna. A king. Yes. Chapter 17. In those days, Israel had no king. Chapter 18. In those days, Israel had no king. Chapter 19. In those days, Israel had no king. And the last verse, in those days, Israel had no king. So we said that there is no happy ending. That's not a happy ending. Israel is a complete mess. But it is not a hopeless ending. Hopeless means it's going to stay that way forever. Hopeful, there is a hope. There is a hope of something changing. Of this cycle of sin being broken, of the nation of Israel being different, of the world being different. And what is that hope? It is a king. Jesus is the hero
because he's the king. See, Judges portrays the problem and gives the solution. He's not just one of those annoying people who says, no, you can't do that, and then doesn't give any solution. Judges says, here's the problem, here's the solution. What's the one thing missing in Israel? A king. And what's the one thing that our world, our children, our friends, our government, our own lives need? A king. But not just any old king, and not just any old leader. Israel and the world do not need a prophet. They don't need a prophet. The world does not need a prophet, a teacher. We don't need instruction for our heads or advice. We need cleansing and change for our hearts. We don't need someone to point us the way to God. You know, you want to get to God? Well, if you do this and go that way, you'll be all right. No, we need someone who will come and take us to God. Not someone just to point us to God, someone to take us to God. Which is why, incidentally, Muhammad and Buddha just won't cut it. They won't do the job. They will point you to a God, but they won't bring you to God himself. We don't need a politician or a leader or a ruler. So throughout the book of Judges, they get leader after leader after leader after leader. And each time they're thinking, oh, could this be the one? Could he sort out the problem? Well, actually, no, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. They don't need a politician. And it's painfully clear in our world, isn't it, that politicians can create all the laws they like, but they cannot create order and they cannot clean our hearts. What does the world need? Not a prophet, not a politician, and actually not just any old king either. Definitely not King Henry VIII. I think we'll all agree on that one. And children, ask your parents why afterwards. Israel doesn't just need any old king. And again, that was another thing that Israel were looking for. They thought, oh, well, if we have a king like the nations, we'll be okay. So they asked for Saul. Well, that doesn't end well. Then eventually they have David, and that's great for a bit. And then they have Solomon, which is great for a bit. And then Josiah, which is great for a bit. But not forever. No good king, no matter how good, well, some were really bad, but no matter how good the kings were, they weren't enough throughout the whole of the period of Israel until Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus is the hero because he's the king that they were always waiting for. Now, what makes Jesus different to any other leader, any other king? Well, he's the only person who can deal with the problem. He can deal with this cycle of sin because he's the only one who would die for it. No one else could deal with sin, not the judges, not the prophets, not even the priests, not the kings, just Jesus. And actually, we can't do it either. So it's one thing to say David couldn't deal with the problem of sin, but how often do you feel that we think we can deal with our own problems, our own sin? Now, we're the bad guys too. I challenge you, children, adults, today, do nothing wrong. Think nothing wrong. Say nothing wrong. And even if you do that, by the end of the day, you'll be proud. It's impossible. It is impossible. And we joke about it, but it is. I cannot get this out of my heart. I cannot solve that by myself. And actually, it's just going to weigh me down, drag me down to death. There was only one person, one hero, one king to deal with the problem. Jesus, the king on the cross. Jesus is the hero because he's the king. So this is from Luke's gospel. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, and what happens? Some soldiers come up to Jesus and they mocked him. They laughed at him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." They're saying, "You're no king. because you're dying. You're not a king. But they're missing the whole point. It's because Jesus is the king that we've been waiting for that he dies. He didn't come to save himself. If he wanted to, he could have. But he came to die to save others. That is our king. He came to save others, not himself. He came to deal with the problem, to pay for sin himself. He is the hero in every way. We are the bad guys, and he is the hero. That is what we need. A king who can take away your problem, your sin, and deal with it and leave it there. No prophet, no leader, no judge, nobody could actually take that from me. Only he could. That's the king we need. Not a military king, not a political king, not a philosopher king. A crucified king. A suffering king. A sin-bearing, saving king. That is a hero. Because he rescues. He is a great hero and the only hope for our world. So, when we look at the book of Judges, as we looked at today, and as we look at for the rest of our time in the next 3 weeks, we are the bad guys because of our sin. Jesus is the hero because he is the king. And so just to finish, 3 points to finish with. Firstly, if he's the king, come to him. Come to him. Will you let him rescue you? Imagine if Cinderella said, "Nah, no thank you, prince. I don't want to come to your palace. I don't want to escape my situation." That wouldn't have happened. Imagine if Rapunzel in the tower had said, "Thanks very much. I know that you want to rescue me, but I'll try and sort it out myself. I didn't need it. Thanks." We need a rescuer, and this is the king. Judges portrays him as the only hope in the whole wide world. Come to him. Most of us have. Are you relying on him? Do you think as much about your sin as you should, and as much about your Savior as you should? See, Judges magnifies our rebellion, our sin, but it magnifies God's kindness to us. So if you're like me, you think, that's my sin. Oh yeah, but I'll keep it in the box. It's not that bad. And then you don't need a Savior. But we need to rely on our King too. And lastly, speak of him. Speak of him. Why do we tell stories about heroes? Because everybody loves a hero. We love heroes. Our world knows something is wrong. They just don't know the person who's going to make it right. We know that person. We love telling stories. So let's make sure we tell this one too. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for that wonderful story in Judges, the fact that it is true. We thank you for exposing us of the bad guys and glorifying Jesus as the hero, the king we need. Please help us to lean on him, trust in him, and speak of him. Amen.